B-Pod Studios.
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, good morning. It's still dark out. What is today's date, Dan?
Today is the 24th.
We are live. October 24th. 2020 on a Saturday morning with you. We're going to talk about most of the games today. I think we should dive into the NFL a little more because sometimes there's so much college football that like we don't really get into enough NFL. And not to mention like I like when people call in about games, Dan. I like when people are like, hey, what do you think about this line? Remember we had the Navy guy last week call in? I do. What else did we hit?
And then half the ECU team ended up being without with COVID.
Yep. I like it when people call in. So the phone number is 617-779-0985. Any thoughts, any tidbits, any games you're looking at this week? We did a podcast on Thursday night. We gave out picks. There are certain games we like. There were some games we wanted to look into and discuss this weekend as well. I just want to bring up last night quickly, Dan. All three favorites in college football covered last night. ULL pulled it out late. UAB's quarterback threw two interceptions late, and that was it. And they had no timeouts down the stretch.
Yeah, not good time management by the head coach there. Lucero threw that bad interception. And then, I mean, the one at the end of the game, Joe, he was just trying to move the ball at all. They couldn't move the ball.
So about that game, I know ULL was ranked until they lost a week ago. And UAB had its home winning streak snapped. Dude, it's so funny. Like, you see this gambling Twitter, right? All people all over. So many people were on ULL last night. I thought UAB was better. But it shows that, you know, it's the whole 60-minute game. And ULL won in the end there. And, again, when you use all your timeouts late in the game, it doesn't help you. Tulsa rolled South Florida. The over should have been the easiest. I Tulsa in the over was probably. You had Tulsa as your PP, so congratulations.
Yeah, Tulsa should have won that game by 50 going away. The refs were helping South Florida. Everywhere.
Okay, so the first targeting penalty was crap.
Horrendous call.
The second one was like, what are we doing here?
That's the play you want to get out of the game, right? The clear hit to the front of the helmet of the quarterback, and you call the guy who brushed. He barely touched him. I mean, he barely tackled him. He had to tackle him to his feet. There was no consistency there, and then they start. It was terrible, dude. I mean, I honestly thought the reffing in that game was real bad. It basically led to giving South Florida 7, and at the end of the half, like that targeting penalty, that could have changed the game because, you know, Tulsa was getting the ball. They just stopped them on third down, going the fourth down, and now all of a sudden, 3 minutes, like almost in the timeout, they just, you know, once the commercial break hit. Then they decided to review for targeting. They almost give South Florida 7. Thankfully, I mean, the ball doesn't lie. And, you know, there was a turnover force from the quarterback fumble there. But, I mean, the reffing, they tried to keep South Florida in the game. I'm going to be honest. There was nothing to say about that other than
South
the refs
was,
were terrible.
What was bad, too. They're not a good football team.
No, and Tulsa's really good.
Tulsa's defense, man. You got to give them credit. 13 points. They beat USF, UCF as well. And so maybe they got something there. In Tulsa, their running game looked pretty good last night, too.
And they didn't have their starting running back either.
Yeah. And then I thought the surprise of the night was Wisconsin. I'm more surprised at Graham Mertz's performance of 5 touchdowns. So I watched the second half because I had Wisconsin second half.
I think a lot of people did.
Minus seven and a half. Sweated it a little bit.
That hook right at the end. Yeah.
But they ended up scoring 17. But all Wisconsin did second half was handoff.
Yep.
Handoff. And then on a third and like eight, the kid, what did he go last night? 20 of 21.
I think he threw like six or seven passes in the second half. Like so, Wisconsin barely threw.
So that's what happened on third down. They converted every time.
It was the third and goal at the one where they did the play
action. And then they
did
the play action. That sealed the deal.
Yeah,
I put it over the total.
I saw that. That was a very nice play.
That was it though. I don't know if Wisconsin has a quarterback because they got Cohen as well. If Wisconsin has a quarterback, they're a problem.
Agreed.
They haven't had a quarterback since Russell Wilson. I'll flat out say that.
Now, again, it's Illinois.
Yeah, I know.
They effing suck. Let's not get too crazy. But, I mean, listen, you have to be impressed by what Wisconsin did last night. They dominated that game. And, by the way, Illinois' only touchdown was on a fumble that I thought the defender, I thought they had cleanly recovered. The ref said they didn't cleanly recover, and that Illinois' defender, then a different defender, picked the ball up and scored a touchdown. They didn't get a single offensive point all night.
Illinois was bad. Their defense was bad. I don't know. I thought the Lovey Illinois team was on the rise. I don't know. Maybe they just ran into a Wisconsin team. They were like pumping up the jump around in the fourth quarter because it was a blowout. And, like, nobody's there.
Of course.
And everyone's jumping around on Zoom.
I mean, like, Mertz looks like the real deal, dude.
He looked good. I mean, you know, again, I the problem is it was Illinois.
Right. And, again, they're not throwing down the field. But, again, if you can just control the game and limit your mistakes if you're a Wisconsin quarterback, you're going to be pretty good because your defense should be good and your run game should be effective.
Jake Ferguson.
Yeah. The
seven catches, three touchdowns.
Yeah.
On the night. And also the World Series. I apologize on the headlines. I said 7-1, so I need to correct myself.
It was 6-2.
It was 6-2, and it went over the total.
Yes. Full count, two outs in the bottom of the ninth, and a little ding-dong there from a Rosarena.
A Rosarena.
A Rosarena, yeah, okay. So that put it over the total. The gambling Twitter melted down when that happened.
Yeah,
because you either had the under or you had the over, and it was a melt.
The over's the play right now in the World Series, everybody. I know last night, say what you want, it's hit. Dodgers have hit I don't know how many in a row now, and now this is three in a row here. Dodgers take a 2-1 series lead in the World Series. And you know what? We have John who wants to talk about the World Series. What's going on, John in Worcester? What's up, man? You're on the Sports Hub.
Hey, fellas, how's it going?
Good, good, man.
What's going on, John?
Good, good. Yeah, just on my way out to the Lynx, putting a little money out there, but I just wanted to drop a note now that you guys kind of stole my thunder a little bit there, Joe, but the overs in this World Series, I mean, it's been, I know last night, like you said, came down to the 9-3-2 pitch, but other than that, it's been kind of close your eyes, throw your money at it, and it's going to hit. The Dodgers -1.5 have been a lock. I knew the other game, you just got to avoid Snell in this rotation, but other than that, I think ride the Dodgers, take the plus money on the -1.5 on the run line, and bet that over. And I think you're going to be ending away in this World Series with a decent amount of money in your pocket.
Yeah, and tonight,
all right, boys, I'll shut up and listen, and have a good day.
Appreciate it, man. And tonight you got Uriah and Yarbrough.
So the total of eight should scare you. I think after last night with a Walker Buehler, you know, matchup with Morton, I think was the other pitcher there. Again, I didn't watch any of the game except for like the final. I watched the ninth because I had money on the total. Urias and Yarbrough, I mean, if it's at eight, I kind of say under. I mean, wouldn't you kind of go that way? You're 7.5 in a Walker Buehler, fest there.
I mean, I don't know, but one thing I've noticed is whoever the better starting pitcher is has gone over their individual prop total. Snell went over his, Kershaw went over his, and then last night Buehler went over
his. Well, Yarbrough's an opener, so he only pitches like...
So that's what I mean, like, is it worth maybe taking an under in that game? What would it be, 1.5? Who knows?
I don't know.
I'd probably stay away from that. But at least with the starters, I've seen the strikeout total go over in the favor, like Blake Snell. Blake Snell was outstanding the other night. I tipped my cap to him. Would you go back to the Dodgers tonight here? I bet you are. I'm already looking right now. Yep, Tampa Bay +150 tonight.
I got to be honest with you. I don't have a great feel on this game. I initially without doing any sort of research and just eyeballing it, I would lean the under, because setting it at 8 after you set it at 7.5 for a Buehler Morton goes over, everyone's going to be on the over after 3 straight games. Feels like a potential under on 8.
Could be one of those bullpen, keep it tight. Did you see the safety squeeze last night?
I did not.
That's when I shut it off.
Yeah, no, I did not. I did not watch the at all except for the ninth inning. That was a. Listen, there were 3 good college football games on, and Jacksonville State. I know we kind of talked about them quickly on the podcast. I don't want to get too deep into Jacksonville State, but we talked about how bad FIU is, and Jacksonville State beating them outright as a 10-point dog, which I think we both kind of thought on the podcast that was the side to be on. Because that Florida State win is starting to look better, at least, and maybe until this week. But that was an impressive victory by Jacksonville State. I felt like the few minutes that I watched that game, they were dominating that game.
So, yeah, they ended up losing to Florida State, right? Yeah.
Yeah, they lost.
But, yeah, and then they beat Mercer, UNA, and FIU. 3-1 that Jacksonville State. Remember when I thought that was, like, I was like, is that Deion Sanders school?
Yeah, no, that's Jackson State.
Not yet. All right, well, that was last night. Anything else last night? Oh, and tonight we have a 2 a.m. degenerate special. UFC style tonight.
Ah, gotcha.
2 a.m., like, because we're going to get some 10 o'clock games tonight with the Mountain West back.
We have 3 10 o'clock games. Texas State, BYU, UNLV, San Diego State, and Air Force San Jose State.
So think about it. You'll have all those games. And then if you got a little more money to burn in the midnight oil, you get a little Habib action tonight.
Maybe Gabe will call in today. Maybe we'll get some,
where's he been?
Yeah, Gabe, where have you been?
Gaethje, Nurmagomedov tonight.
Khabib.
Khabib, whatever. Easy. I want to be professional here.
I mean, that's fine. I can't say it.
Plus, it's like, you know, what do we say? Who could be the quarterback for Maryland today?
Tagovailoa.
What's his first name?
Tolia Tagovailoa. Okay.
There we go. It's early in the morning here, folks. And we're just getting going here. You know what? We got a call who wants to talk about a certain game today. Yeah. And I know you've talked about this team a bit, Dan.
Let's do it.
His name is Dan. He's in Ashburnham.
All right.
What's up there, man, Dan?
What's going on, guys? I called about Navy last week.
Ah, you're that guy. All right. What do we got today?
I am that guy. So, first of all, Joe, come on. 1-4. Dan, come on. 4-4. Let's be real.
Oh, I sucked last week. No, listen.
Leave him alone.
No, it's fine. Listen, for me, and I don't want to get defensive about it. It's just I'm here for the insight. Hey, the picks, you can fade or follow. That's the way I look at it.
You post that every week. You say that every week.
Hey, listen, here's the pick. If you think Joe's pick sucks, you fade it, and I'm not offended.
We've been good for three years. We're having a bad run right now. There's no doubt.
We do watch every game. We do give you good insight, and hopefully we give you enough insight to make your own decision. So what do you got today?
Exactly. I've been following you guys for a long time. So today I got Texas Tech, West Virginia. I actually like the over. I actually didn't play that Navy over. The last 4 meetings, Texas Tech, West Virginia, the line opened up at 57. It's now 54.5. The last 4 meetings, 38-17, 34-32, 35-46, and 17-48. This game has not gone over 55 in the past 4 years, or however, 4 games that they played. Texas Tech, they've had 3 wins, 6 losses. The home record is 1-3. The away is 2-2. I want to go ahead, listen to you guys, get your thoughts. Like I said last time, love you guys.
Hey, real quick, so last game was 38-17. This is a year ago, Texas Tech. You mentioned a couple of the trends there of the last 4 games. If you noticed any trend on that one, it's the fact that the favorite is 4-0 against the spread the last 4 meetings.
Yes.
So, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how you feel about a side on that one, but West Virginia's played well. Texas Tech hasn't played well.
I know you touched on that. I know you touched on that on the podcast. I know you said you like Texas Tech. I also, you know, lean Texas Tech, but, you know, they've been playing
bad
shootout football.
Yep, they're bad right now. All right, man. Appreciate the call. Yeah. Call in anytime, my man. Big 12, dude. Big 12 football is hasn't been kind to anybody. I don't know if I even said I like Texas. All I said, I think, was Texas Tech won the last meeting. Who's been the quarterback at Texas Tech? That's been
Bowman is the quarterback there when he's healthy. It was Columbi last week against Iowa State, and then I think he relieved Bowman, who may have rehurt himself last week.
Bowman. I like when he played as a freshman.
I do too. I don't mind Bowman. Here's the problem with West Virginia. They're 3 wins this year against an Eastern Kentucky team who they blew out week 1. Kansas, who they let up a kick return for a touchdown, didn't cover. Some of you got 21, some of you got 21.5, so you either pushed or lost. And then Baylor. And again, I'm going to go back to that Baylor game and say I think Baylor probably wins that game on a fair, neutral reffing site. I do think the 2.5 is interesting, right? 2.5 opens at 2.5. It got up to 3, 3.5. Now it's back down to 2.5. And the total opens at 57. It's down to 54.5. I can tell you that the total under was a sharp move by a group earlier this week. So that was a legitimate move by a sharp group.
The caller makes some good points, and I'm just looking this up here. I wouldn't play a side here, but West Virginia leads the nation in total defense.
Yeah, they're no longer an offensive, you know, air it out and, you know, throw deep with, you know, whoever you got there.
They're allowing 2.7 yards per rush and 4 yards per play.
Imagine if they had Greer with this defense a few years ago. Because Greer was a pretty good college quarterback when he was at West Virginia. And the problem was they defensively couldn't stop a thing. And now you're kind of flipping it. And Doji, who's the quarterback there, he's been okay. I mean, he's had moments of, you know, flashing, but he hasn't been fantastic. His best game by far was that Baylor game, but he was terrible in that Oklahoma State game. Again, Oklahoma State in that game, you know, didn't have their starting quarterback.
Dude, their 3 losses, Texas Tech, are Texas, Kansas State, and Iowa State right now.
And again, they were leading that Texas game until the final 2:30. They were in that Kansas State game until they finally broke away. And then Iowa State beat up on the backup quarterback and really broke away. And again, plus that Iowa State team is really good this year. Purdy and that whole defense.
I gave out a pick on the pod, regarding that game.
You did. Campbell, you didn't give out a pick. You gave a side.
Yeah, I gave out a side.
Yeah, but I mean, it wasn't a PP. Maybe you end up BPing into that.
Maybe. Yeah. All right. They were starting it off there. Again, the phone number, 617-779-0985. Love that kind of insight. I'm circling that one. Circling the old under in that case. Looking at it, what time's that game today? 4:30? What time's that game today? 5:30. 5:30 game today. So, all right, we got college football beginning at noon, and then, of course, the NFL as well tomorrow. We'll start somewhere coming up next here on the DraftKings Over-Under Show.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub. It's the show where you never have to hedge your bets.
Get it?
The DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Back here at 98.5, the Sports Hub, I'm Joe Murray. So I was watching these ESPN games last night. I was watching ULL or whatever, and they kept showing the UFC stuff, and it said Saturday, 2 a.m. It said Saturday, 2 a.m., so that's what I was like, oh, 2 a.m., cool. I know it's in Dubai, like, whatever. No, it starts today at 11 o'clock.
Maybe it's a replay at 2 a.m.? I have no idea. You know me and UFC, I'm out ever since I saw the judges' decisions.
You might be right. Maybe they are showing it at 2 a.m. I don't know why. I watched it last night. I'm looking at it today. The fight started 11 o'clock.
11 a.m., yep.
11 a.m., excuse me. And then the main card starts at 2 p.m. Eastern time.
Which means the Khabib fight's probably around like 5, 6, something around there.
Again, ESPN may be showing it later on. I don't know. Because they do have games at 10 o'clock. So maybe they are showing it at 2 a.m. I apologize if I made a mistake on that. But the live betting begins at 11 o'clock today with the main card at 2 p.m. I just want to be accurate. I made a mistake on that, but maybe ESPN's showing it at 2 a.m. So my apologies for that one. So, and you know what? More to bet on today. I know Kevin Maggiore back there helping us out. He's licking his chops back there. You know, he's like, oh, Khabib. Mm. Gaethje. Anyways. Dan, there was a move in the NFL yesterday. Antonio Brown goes to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And it moved the lines a little bit around. So first off, the thought of Antonio Brown going to the Bucs, I have a lot of just too much like Tom Brady, Antonio Brown, like Tom Brady control, like all that stuff. Get it? Like forget about it. Antonio Brown going to the Bucs, is it a fit? And I mean, obviously, you put him into any situation, he's going to improve a team. Okay, I agree with that, and I know he's a head case. I get that. And Bruce Arians even said they don't want that guy, so I wonder how that's going to work out. But with Mike Evans, him, Godwin, like you just look at the team, I do think he can be a fit for that offense. Is it just, I don't know, is it like throwing too much into it? I'm just curious how it would work on a betting angle. Like, are they now somebody you want to get behind more? You know, I still don't think it helps their defense by any means. But anyway, I don't know. What are your thoughts on Antonio Brown going to the Bucs?
I approach it the same way that I did last year with the Patriots. When the Patriots signed Antonio Brown, they were supposed to have the three-headed monster of Edelman, Gordon, and Brown. And everyone said, oh, the Patriots are winning the Super Bowl. Everyone jumped on the Patriots to win the Super Bowl, yada, yada, yada. And then what happened? The Patriots fizzled out. Obviously, things are a little bit different in Tampa. They have a very good defense, you know, especially against the run. My problem is that I don't think from a value perspective it should change anything for you. He's a really nice acquisition for the offense, and I agree with that. You know, he is going to be difficult to defend, you know, when you face him. But I think the biggest problem with the Bucs from a perspective, you know, when it actually comes to the playoffs and looking and betting on this team value-wise is, can this team play controlled, well-coached football when it matters in the playoffs? Can they limit their penalties? Can they make the right decisions? You know, we know that Tom Brady is obviously going to be, you know, the make the right decisions in those spots. But the problem is the rest of his team. And I think Brown is a negative contribution. So if you're asking me, Dan, from a regular season perspective, do you value, you know, Tampa Bay more in certain situations? Absolutely. I think Brown helps you tremendously in certain situations during the regular season. When it comes to the playoffs, I think he can almost be a detriment because of how poorly Bruce Arians coaches his team, preps his team, has them ready for everything. And the way I look at it and say, this is not a guy that's going to help you be prepared. This is not a DeAndre Hopkins. This is not a Larry Fitzgerald. This is a guy who, you know, if something goes wrong, is going to have a temper tantrum. You know, he's not going to be, you know, ready, you know, to play. You know, he's not going to be in the game, you know, making the small things work like other players would. And I think that that's ultimately what it's going to come down to for the Bucs is, do you do the small things right? Do you make sure that you don't, you know, take too many bad penalties? And Tampa is a team that, unfortunately, takes a lot of bad penalties, does a lot of bad things, doesn't handle the small things well, and I think that this is going to hurt them.
I still think he's good.
He's a really good player.
I don't know. Mike Evans has been very good in this league, but him and Brady haven't been on the same page.
Godwin's been hurt all year.
I'd put him in the slot now is what I'd do.
I mean, wouldn't you put Brown in the slot?
You know, well, yeah, that's another thing you could do, too. He can do whatever he wants.
I mean, the thing is, those three guys plus Gronk, who finally had a nice game last week. I mean, again, I still don't know how effective Gronk is going to be going forward, but he had a nice game last week. Listen, their offense already was a juggernaut, and now it's even more so.
They need to make a trade to help on defense secondary.
But their offensive line, it doesn't matter if you sign Antonio Brown if you can't block for Brady.
True.
And a couple weeks ago against the Chargers were dominating, you know, Brady and the Bucs in that first half. And, you know, again, I think in the regular season, the Bucs are going to be more dynamic now. I just think in the playoffs, I don't know how much it's going to help you, you know, when it comes to doing the little things correctly.
The odds right now to win the Super Bowl. Seahawks. Okay. So the odds haven't moved. I'm looking at it. So these were the favorites to land Antonio Brown. It was the Seahawks with a favorite, followed by the Ravens, Packers, 49ers, Patriots, Titans, Saints, Bucks of plus 1400. So plus 1400. And I'm looking, I'm trying to find right now in the morning here.
So I'm only seeing AFC odds up right now. I'll see if I can log in someplace else and try and find some things. Maybe DraftKings will have them up instead. But here's the deal: Antonio Brown is going to have an effect on the odds. There's no doubt about that. I'm going to tell you the same thing as I did last year. I think that there's going to be an overreaction to the player and his value against the line, the same as there was with the Patriots last year, and that there's not going to be a major difference. He will make a difference at points, but in terms of everything else, I mean, the Bucs are now 10-1. So they were 12-1 yesterday.
That's a move.
10-1, yeah. Again, I think it's a move. I think people are going to overreact to it, and you're going to see a ton of people on the Bucs now.
Someone goes, did you just imply the Bucs don't have a good defense?
No, they have a very good defense.
I think they're okay.
Their front seven is fantastic. It's the secondary that has problems.
So that brings up the next question. You just said the Bucs need help in the secondary. Could they be the team that goes after Gilmore?
I highly doubt that Belichick would trade Gilmore. Belichick is one of those guys who hates everyone, right? If you've done him wrong, he hates you. So right now, my guess on Belichick is that he can't be feeling too happy about the Buccaneers' success and Tom Brady, and I highly doubt that. Even though he probably, you know, the Gilmore trade has been rumored, I doubt, highly doubt, that he's going to trade Gilmore to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to help out Tom Brady succeed in getting a Super Bowl without him. Can't see that happening. Nope.
Yeah. I mentioned that list of teams that were, you know, the numbers of where he could have went. I mean, really, this has to come down to him thinking, you know, who's going to win, right? I mean, the Seahawks have been, they're 5-0. We'll see them Sunday night. But, like, the more I look at this, like, which team would he have gone? The Ravens might have been a team. But are they somebody you can depend on their quarterback?
I think he would have been better off in Seattle, honestly, because at least you already have that kind of loose and fly culture there. In Tampa? Again, Brown's a wild card, man. He can ruin everything. Let's not forget, these are the same Tampa Bay Bucs that lost to the Chicago Bears on Thursday Night Football and did not look good in that game. I mean, the Bears ruined that offensive line, ruined it. I mean, they built the model on how to beat Tampa.
For fun, I would have liked to see the Packers just because they kind of need that help. 49ers, no. Patriots, they obviously could use them, but that's not happening. Yeah, no. The Titans would have been interesting. Or like the Saints, you know, Mike Thomas, here we go. We'll just bring it him.
The Saints would have been super interesting, but it feels like the Saints are going down the toilet bowl a little bit.
But yeah, you're right. See, I don't love the Seahawks defense, and I just don't think, I don't know. That's my own opinion. Ravens, I think, still have one of the easiest schedules in football with the Steelers. They do. 1-2. Packers would have been interesting to me. 49ers, no. Patriots, yes, but not happening. And the Titans, I wonder if they would have added him as well. But he's going to the Bucs with Tom Brady. And the Bucs are only getting better at this point. Played their best game of the year. And next week, they get Antonio Brown.
Let's not go crazy. They're coming off one of their worst games in the Bears. I mean, they were horrendous in that game.
Yep.
Penalties killed them. The small things killed them. That's exactly the kind of game against a good team that, you know, you look at and you say that's the thing that I think we're going to end up seeing in the playoffs, and that's the thing that's going to kill this team.
Okay. We will get into more of the games here coming up next here on the Over Under DraftKings Show.
The DraftKings Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Who you got? These guys have the answer. Joe Murray, Dan Lischatz. The DraftKings Over Under Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
DraftKings Over-Under Show. I'm Joe Murray. Dan Lifshatz is here. Let's get into the NFL slate. Of course, we saw what happened on Thursday night between the Giants and the Eagles. Dan had the under. It hit. Luckily, it was a Hail Mary, but it hit. So a win's a win, even though it two-point conversions and, you know, hey, somebody falling, getting an RKO out of nowhere.
I'll take any lucky wins I can get in the last few weeks, so fine with me.
Can we start Lions-Falcons here? Obviously, Falcons got their first win last week. They play the Lions, who beat the Jaguars. They needed that win. Matt Patricia's job was on the line. So off the bat, Atlanta's 2.5 favorite right now. Over-under is 54.5. And I look at this, and I think Atlanta right away. And in the Lions just against the spread. So in a 16-game sample, all right, the Lions – 4-12 against the spread their last 16 games. So, like, you know, they're not good against the spread. They're just not.
Classic, but
at the same time, whenever the Falcons are a favorite, you know, 2-7 against the spread the last, what, 9 that they've played. So whenever they play a team at home with a losing record, the Falcons are 8-3 straight up.
I think you can make a case for either of these teams, which is why it's going to be a game that I avoid. I mean, the Lions should be able to pass through this pretty bad secondary of the Falcons pretty well. And again, if Matt Patricia will stop being reluctant and maybe throw the ball instead of try to establish the run with Peterson and Swift and, you know, move the ball in the air, I think that, you know, they will have a, you know, legitimate chance to beat Atlanta. And same thing with Atlanta. I mean, you know, We finally saw them be willing to, you know, move the ball, do what they need to do, establish the run with Gurley, take some shots with Julio, which they, you know, just don't do often enough. I think you can look the other way and you can make a case for both of these teams. I think this is a true stay away for me because I think that this game could go either way, Joe. I think this is one that could go either way. If you're making me choose a side in this one, I would go over in this game because I think you're going to see Detroit score points. I think you're going to see Atlanta score points. The offense is going to move the ball. Neither of these teams have very good defenses. Matt Patricia, the defensive specialist, just does not have a good defense, not a good defensive scheme in Detroit. And I just think that you're going to end up seeing, you know, a good amount of points on this game Sunday.
Yeah, two teams haven't played each other in a couple of years. Last time they played, though, 30-26. Atlanta with the win here. I agree. I don't love a side here. You would assume over the way both teams score. Opened at 1. They've now gone to 2.5 Atlanta. Buffalo and the Jets. Buffalo right now, it opened at 10. It's 10.5 at most places. So here, this is a fade for me on the Jets in general. Now, the last time they played, last year, Buffalo won by 10, 27-17. Buffalo's had somewhat of a crazy stretch with their schedule, you know, playing the Chiefs and having one of their games moved against the Titans. And they get the Jets this week. We know about the anemic offense that the Jets have put out there at this point. But the Bills can move the football. And I think they should be able to do that against the Jets this week. And I think this might be a week for their defense to get better. Dan, I'm sorry, I'm not taking the Jets. I don't care about a divisional game. I don't care about anything else. For me, it's Buffalo here for me.
Yeah, I mean, I can't take the Jets either. But if you're gonna take the Jets in a week, I mean, this is probably the week to do it, right? Buffalo's coming off 2 straight losses. There's clear regression there. This team probably should be 3-3. They're 4-2. You know, so there's clear regression. You've had two really good teams now finally play the Bills and, I would say, kick the crap out of them. I think the Bills have looked like the inferior team in both those games, very clearly. Now next week they have the Patriots, so it's another sandwich spot for them. you know, Buffalo on a short week because they played Monday night against Kansas City. If you're looking a divisional game on the road, if you're ever looking to take the Jets at all this season, this is it. That being said, I think it's impossible to take the Jets because it's the Jets. So, you know, and Adam Gase is there and they're tanking. But, you know, this line got up to 13.5 and it got to 14. Maybe you consider taking the Jets. Maybe. I still think at 14, it's hard to do. I'm definitely not doing it at 10. But, yeah, I don't think I can take Buffalo either just because the situational spot really is not a good one. Back-to-back losses, Patriots next week, on the road, divisional opponent. It's just not a good spot.
So a couple of just trends that are out there. The Bills, they're first in third down conversion percentage this year. The Jets are last. The Bills are seventh in red zone touchdown scoring. Jets are last. And just another thing, the total's gone over in five of the Bills' last six games.
But Buffalo also can't stop the run. Okay, they're the sixth worst.
But who are you worried about? I mean, Frank Gore really hasn't gotten going, and Pete Ryan really isn't doing much.
It doesn't matter. If you can't stop the run, you're still going to struggle against anyone who's, you know, anyone halfway decent. I still think the Jets can at least run the ball a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, I think Frank Gore could have a pretty good game. Seventh in the league against the run, 131.3 yards per game allowed.
The Jets are 0-6 against the spread in their last six games versus division opponents at home.
And by the way, last three games, Buffalo was up to 156.7 yards per game allowed on the ground.
Allowed.
They get gashed on the ground. Kansas City, who throws the ball downfield better than anyone, ran all over them. I mean, again, it's a problem. So I do worry that, you know, the Jets are going to be able to at least run the ball a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I think the Jets are bad. Another bad game here, Washington-Dallas. Washington opened as a three-point dog. It's now down to one. We saw Dallas on Monday. Dallas is not as bad as we saw on Monday. I think there was a non-pass interference call that I thought was just egregious. And then there was a targeting call later that just never happened. Now, I'm not saying it would have changed the game. But Buda Baker was great. Zeke Elliott fumbled twice.
Is Zeke even in the game anymore? It feels like he's checked out, dude.
Oof, you're right, man.
I mean, I'm not touching it. I think you're going to end up seeing the sharps on Washington. This is going to be a sharp spot this week. The look at it was 4.5, opened at 3.5. It's down to 1. It was a pick 'em yesterday. You'll probably see some public buyback on the Cowboys today and tomorrow. This line will probably get back up to 2.5, 3 again. I think this is a spot you need to avoid Dallas. I mean, players are talking about they're not being prepared. The coaches aren't good. Like, I don't think I can back
one team covered last week. The other team was brutal, and they were favored.
Also true.
And then just looking at the head-to-head trends, the Cowboys 5-1 against the spread the last six. The over has been very good in this matchup.
Total's 47.5 in this one.
So 8-1 the last nine meetings between these two, especially in Washington as well. To me, I feel like people are going to get behind the Dallas Cowboys here.
Of course.
Like, maybe they weren't that bad this week. I wonder if they need to get out of Dallas. I don't know. There's a lot of things with Dallas I can't get behind. They're a team that just hasn't been good against the spread. They 0-6 against the spread. I'm not sure I can put again, I'm not taking a side here, but I'm not sure you can back Dallas here, even though the trends show it. You mentioned the total. It's gone from 49 to 45. It's low.
It's off the board right now, most places, too. I wonder if we're going to get some news coming up.
What else here? I'm just looking at some 1 o'clock games that we have. I want to give out a play. I'll do that real quick before we hit the break. I like Cleveland this week. It's a bounce back. I thought Mayfield was hurt last week. He had bad ribs. I know they're going on the road. They're playing at Cincinnati. One of the reasons why is I'm fading Cincinnati because Joe Mixon's not playing. I think he's been a really big part of that offense this year. But I'm going Cleveland. It opened at 4. It's now down to 3. I like what Cincinnati's done this year. I really do. Early on, they were a cover machine. I know the Browns historically, like in the last five meetings, the Browns are 1-4 against the spread in Cincinnati. And generally in these two meetings, the over has hit. It's 5-0, 4-0. But to me, I like the Browns in this spot. I think it's a bounce back spot. I think that the Bengals struggle without Joe Mixon. So I'm taking a shot here. Give me the PP. I'm going Browns over the Bengals on the road this week. That's -3 right now is the line.
Okay, yeah. I'll give one out, too, before the break as well. I agree with that, Joe. The Bengals this year, the sixth worst team against the run, have allowed 142.3 yards per game on the ground. And we all know that Cleveland established the run early and probably got Kareem Hunt going early. I'm going to go to the Monday night slate here, Joe, the Bears-Rams. To me, this is a very good bounce-back spot for the Rams. I thought, you know, on the road on Sunday football against the Niners, we kind of talked about how I like the Niners. I was an idiot and decided to take the Colts last week instead of the Niners. So, you know, those were the two I was between and ended up taking the Colts instead. So, you know, gross. Went with Phillip Rivers instead of Jimmy Garoppolo, and that was a mistake. But this week I will not make that mistake. I'm going to go back and I'm going to take the Rams and Jared Goff. I'm going to take the Rams. I'm laying the 6. So give me Rams -6 PP at home against Chicago.
Just to back you on that, home team, 4-1 against the spread the last 5 meetings in the head-to-head here. And I'm just trying to find some other Rams trends here. So the under in this series has been under is 10-1 in this matchup between the two teams. I'm just looking at some other things here. And I get a lot of trends off covers.com for those who like to look at it. I don't base everything off of trends. It's just if you like it, if you like a certain side, I like to just look into how these two teams play on the road. And Chicago's, you know, we mentioned their body of work over a 16-game schedule, very similar to the Lions that we discussed earlier today. They're a different team this year, though, the Bears. What I mean is they're 5-1, but like a lot of the trends don't back. Like a lot, everything that you see when it comes to Chicago, the trends don't favor them at all. But they're 5-1.
They're 3-0 on the road, and I still think when I watch this team, Nick Foles and that offense just isn't. It's just not clicking yet, and I do think that this is a chance for, you know, the Rams to kind of get back on the same page after a loss last week. They're 4-2, 2-0 at home. There's a nice bounce back, and I do think that while Chicago's been really good on the road this year, I'm not baiting into that 6. Everyone's going to want to be on the dog in the 6. It looks like a pretty big number up for a Monday night game. I'm not going to be baited into that. I think the Rams win by at least a touchdown, and they may win this game by double digits, honestly. I think this is a game where we start to see some serious regression from Chicago. We saw it from Buffalo the past 2 weeks. I think you start to see it from a Chicago team this week.
All right, we'll take a quick break here. It's the DraftKings Over-Under Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub. If it's the biggest games in sports, you bet they're talking about it. This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, hour two of the DraftKings Over-Under Show. Let's have some fun with this one, Dan. Clemson. -46.5 right now versus Syracuse. I had the under last week in the Clemson game. Not proud of it. I'm owning it.
It's okay. I had Syracuse in the Syracuse game.
Okay.
That went about as well as the Clemson under.
So just quickly here, the funny thing about that Clemson game was it didn't go over the total until about late in the third quarter. Like, at one point, I'm like, could this really happen? No, it didn't. So the thing is, it's 46.5. They just dropped 50. We know that Syracuse has played Clemson tough. The last year was a beaten 41. I think it was like 41-7 last year. All right. Syracuse, any backing here of Syracuse. Culpepper's a quarterback. Dino Babers is, you know, probably going to get canned at some point. No DeVito.
The case for Syracuse this week is that they overlooked Liberty to Clemson, and honestly, I should have recognized that crap. But yeah, I mean, that's the case for Syracuse, right? Is that they overlooked Liberty last week to prepare for Clemson, who obviously
you're
was
reaching,
much more
but
of a concern.
I get what you're saying.
I'm just saying that's your case, right?
And Clemson plays BC next week,
right? So right, exactly.
And then they got Notre Dame in 2 weeks,
and Syracuse plays Wake Forest, so this is not a look ahead or whatever. Clemson's not looking ahead to Boston College, even though they're significantly better than Syracuse next week. I think there's a chance.
Are you looking at the 46.5 or not, Dan, for Syracuse?
No, I'm not doing it. I'm not being baited into it. I think you're going to end up seeing the sharp side on Clemson, honestly.
See, I'd hate to take Clemson and they win by 41.
By the way, have you ever seen a 46-point spread and a 62-point total? What do they think? Syracuse is going to score a touchdown, 10 points, touchdown, a field goal? I mean, are they? That's gross.
What's the first half line?
Let me see if I can find it. I have not seen a team total for Clemson yet, so if you have that, you'd be glad to give us a call and tell us what that is. First half line is Clemson minus 30. Maybe.
I could smell a 35 nothing for
us. Like a 31 nothing.
I can smell it. Oh. Anyways, I wanted to have fun with that one.
Oh, Syracuse is so bad.
Ohio State, Nebraska. Every year, Nebraska is like this hype team. Scott Frost, like, you know, who's the quarterback this year now? Martinez brothers.
It's like Martinez is still there.
He's still there, huh? It's always a Martinez brother at quarterback there. I mentioned this on the podcast. I think Ohio State rolls, but could there be something there where Nebraska was one of the teams fighting for the Big Ten? Could they ease up on them late in the game?
It was a good point you brought up Thursday, honestly. I hadn't considered that angle. And here's the other thing I'll say. Why is this not 28? Why is it 20? It opened at 25.5. Why is it 26.5? Why is it 27? Why is it not 28? And that's, I think, you know, you're taking a look at that. And Ohio State, I mean, they have Penn State on deck. So could they be kind of, you know, not taking Nebraska seriously, even though it's the opening game of the season? Maybe the second half they pull the starters, they let Nebraska get some points, as you said, because they were with them and playing the season, and, you know, Nebraska finds a backdoor. I would wait for a second half line and see how the first half plays out in this one.
And in the last meeting, Ohio State won 48-7 last year. Do we know Ohio State's defense this year is still projected to be the real deal? I mean,
they haven't played a game, and they're the fifth team in the country. So,
I don't know much about their defense, I'll be honest with you.
I'm hearing Clemson team total is 52.5, by the way. I bet you they score 52. I bet you it's like 52-7. 52-10.
52-10. That's not a cover.
I know. Something like that. 52-7. 52-7's a cover.
All right. I circled this game. Temple's at Memphis. We know Memphis snuck out a win last week against UCF. Everyone knows how I feel about that. Temple has not been good. I know 1-1 so far. They had that that game with USF last week. I looked into this a little bit more. Do you know that Temple has been a covering machine versus Memphis? Now, I don't know if Memphis coming off, coming off that big win, an emotional win. I don't take them as that type of team. Like, I think Brady White's a good quarterback. I know they have their struggles on defense. The underdog's 5-0 against the spread the last five meetings, and Temple is 5-0 against the spread the last five meetings.
And Memphis has a road game at Cincinnati next week. Talk about the look ahead.
Okay.
This is the worst spot for Memphis in the season. Off an emotional win versus UCF by a point. At home now in a look ahead spot facing against the number 9 team next week. This is a bad spot for Memphis.
Listen, on paper, Memphis is a 2-touchdown favorite all day long against Temple. I wonder if they have their number, if it's one of those things there. I don't know if I could get behind Temple here, though. Like, this is probably a stay away, but, like, for me, if I was going to choose a side, it's Memphis.
Agree, but the case for Temple is that this is a look-ahead spot. The line is 13.5, not 14, and that they probably looked ahead to this game from the USF game, and it was probably a look-ahead to the Memphis game, and I think Temple will be more prepared than they were last week. I expect a better performance.
Memphis needs this game, too. You mentioned Cincinnati. They already lost to SMU. So, like, they need the win to stick around here. Brady White, by the way, is slowly growing on me as a possible NFL quarterback.
He was really good last week. I mean, so was Gabriel, though. So, I mean, both those guys were really good.
Yeah, I don't know if
week.
Gabriel is. Yeah. I don't know if he's potential, and maybe it's because he's a lefty. I don't know.
I was going to say, it's the lefty.
Maybe that's
thing.
What it is.
It's the lefty thing.
But I watch White, I'm
he's
like,
he's a true sophomore. I mean, he can be a sophomore again next year.
Yeah, the kid Milton, whatever happened, is he ever going to play again?
He got cleared finally to
play.
Yeah, he was just cleared for football activity, so he is actually cleared to play.
See, I read something on him the other day.
Yeah.
And they were wondering if he'd ever be the same guy again.
If you missed what happened to Milton, it was a bad injury 2 years ago.
And UCF was a rolling, too. NC State, UNC, we briefly talked about this on the podcast. UNC's off that loss to Florida State. The total's at 60. In-state rivalry here, of course. UNC's 2.5, so 14.5 right now. Is the line. North Carolina won this game 41-10. We know that the old lefty there, is it Hockman?
Hockman, yep.
He'll be a quarterback for NC State. I'm not a Hockman fan. This is the guy that was at Florida State and didn't do well, and now he transferred. But I watch NC State games. I watched all last week. Pretty good, decent running game, but I think UNC is going to they're gonna try to let Hockman beat them. I don't know if they cover the 14.5, but I think North Carolina wins this game today.
Yeah, I think that North Carolina is probably the bounce back side here. This should be their best performance.
Can I give you just one little nugget here?
Yes.
The under's been big in this series.
Interesting.
5-2 last 7 meetings. Under 5-2 last 7 in this series. The underdog has been good, 12-5 against the spread last 17. I know that's going way back. The total is 60 right now. So open at 64.5.
Yep. I was going to say, yeah, this was especially since you got 66% of the bet on the over, definitely a sharp move towards the under. Can I give you one? Because I want to give it a play.
Yeah, go ahead.
I talked about this game on the podcast, Georgia State, Troy, right? We talked about how I thought that Troy was a bit overrated in their victories. Eastern Kentucky did not play well last week. Their wins are against Middle Tennessee State, who opened the season very poorly. Texas State, who again I think is where we're seeing a Jekyll and Hyde type Texas State team, and they're kind of, you never really know what you're going to get week to week. And we saw Troy get blown out by BYU. Georgia State took UOL to the final seconds of their opening game. They blew out ECU by 20, and then they lost by Arkansas State in a back-and-forth game last Thursday where they put up 52 on that Arkansas State defense. I know my problem is here, Joe, is that there's a look-ahead next week to Coastal Carolina. So I'm scared of this spot, but I'm going to do it anyways because Troy is looking ahead to a road game versus Arkansas State next week. I think both these teams need this win because I think Troy, if they want to continue to be productive and actually have a chance in the Sun Belt East, they need this win. And I think Georgia State, they have to get off the schneid. They absolutely do. In their one look-ahead spot versus ECU, they performed very well. I'm going to go back to it. Give me Georgia State plus the 2.5 PP.
Yeesh.
I know, but I think Georgia State's being undervalued here. I think Troy's being overvalued in the spot. You talked about how you didn't think Troy was very good.
I don't think they're good.
And I think Georgia State is better than their record 1-2, 0-2 in the Sun Belt. They played two very good teams. I mean, Louisiana Lafayette, who just beat UAB last night, and Arkansas State, who has had been very good at times this year. So,
niche.
And I was on the road, too.
What an ugly game.
Yep.
I do want to look at that Michigan-Minnesota game coming up in a minute here. One that I thought was interesting, we talked about this Maryland-Northwestern game. The coach of Northwestern, I saw this last night, but he wins today, and it's his 100th career win.
Pat Fitzgerald.
Yep. So they're 11.5. It opened at 8. And last year, last time they played, Northwestern won 37-21. I know the quarterback is still up in the air for Maryland. Maryland had that, like, great start to last year and then, like, went nowhere. And I know that that Northwestern defense has been pretty good. And it continues to be good year in and year out.
Do they actually have a quarterback who can move the ball?
Now, see,
that's the
question.
Because Hunter Johnson and TJ Green and all the guys last year were terrible.
Well, Hunter Johnson was supposed to be the real deal, right?
And he was terrible.
What was he? Where was he at?
I think he was the Clemson.
Was it Clemson? No, yeah. Because he was a transfer from Clemson. They thought he was going to be a big deal. And
yeah, I think he was the Clemson transfer. This year, at least, they have Peyton Ramsey, who was the transfer from Indiana. And you expect him to be better.
I hope so.
He was solid. And he put in a solid performance of work in Indiana. You expect him to be better, okay? He's not, you know, Michael Penix, but he should be able to move the ball at least.
We'll see Penix today too against Penn State,
right? And then, but again, in Maryland, who do they start at quarterback? Is it Lance Legendre, who no one wants to see?
Dude, I don't know if I could take Northwestern almost two touchdowns against anyone.
Well, so here's the thing: Maryland next week has Minnesota at home. Northwestern next week has on the road versus Iowa. I'd say this is a look ahead probably for both these teams. Neither of these teams are probably fully preparing for each other. The fact that the total is 53 in this one, Joe, is really quite something. I wonder if they think there's going to be some defensive scores in this one, because I would expect a lower total than that. I know it opened at 51. It's up to 53 now.
All right, we're going to get into some big games. There is a game on the Sports Hub today. Notre Dame-Pittsburgh. We'll break that one down. Iowa State, Oklahoma State's a good one. Penn State, we finally get to see what they're made of this year against Indiana. You mentioned Penix for Indiana. He's back. And then the couple of good ones tonight.
Rutgers, Michigan State, the game of the day, baby.
Greg Schiano's back. And Michigan, Minnesota. That's the one that I'm circling today. I've been looking at this one all week long. I'm still going back. And then let's not forget Cincinnati, SMU.
And don't forget Iowa State.
I gotta play on that.
Iowa State, Oklahoma.
You know what?
I'll give
it away here today. Coming up in just a little bit, it's the DraftKings Over Under Show.
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show on 98.5 The Sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sub. This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, DraftKings Over Under Show. Tons of games on this college card today.
Shouts to Kev for the bump back music.
Yeah,
he's doing well.
There you go, Kevin Majority. Help us out today. By the way, so I have a list of teams that you can't bet. At noon today, it's Auburn, Ole Miss. Don't do it, people. Don't do it.
You don't know what team you're going to get. You don't know what Auburn team you're going to get. You don't know what Ole Miss team you're going to get.
Don't do it.
It's an avoid. It's an avoid.
You're going to see Auburn -3.
Auburn could be 0-4. Like, they legitimately could be 0-4.
Don't do it, people.
Ole Miss could be 0-4 if Kentucky doesn't miss an extra point.
Stay off that game. Don't do it. Auburn is on the list. You can't bet Auburn until they prove to you that they're worth betting. How about Notre Dame at Pitt, a game that will be heard here on the Sports Hub today? Notre Dame last week, offense, woof. I'd like to back Pitt here at home, but I just think that Notre Dame defense is so good, and I just think that their offense is going to respond. Underdog, though, 9-1-1 in the last 11 meetings here. But the road team, 8-2-1 in 11 meetings.
Yeah, I will say that we don't know the status of Kenny Pickett. When we did the podcast on Thursday, there was no update, but it did not sound likely that he was going to play.
Coach Kelly raves about Pickett. Mentioning he could be an NFL quarterback. He was raving about him all week long.
He might be able to be like one of those like backup quarterbacks. I don't think he's an NFL 10 starter talent. I mean, yeah, no way. Pickett has been okay this season at best.
Ian Book's been okay.
But yeah, Book has been terrible at times too. Like Book was real bad in that Duke first half. He was really bad. And then he was bad last week versus Louisville. I mean, 12 points against that defense. You need to perform better than that, Ian Book. They didn't cover. Louisville stiffened up defensively, but still 12 points. Just an embarrassment, honestly, in my opinion. It was not a good game for Notre Dame offensively. And listen, they're on the road at Pittsburgh and on the road at Georgia Tech. So they got back-to-back roadies here. Not exactly the toughest roadies. I expect the Georgia Tech next week to be a true look at, as they have Clemson on deck the week after that. So, you know, that is a spot maybe to fade Notre Dame. I don't really have a ton of interest in that.
I like Notre Dame to win and cover.
This week?
I do.
Gotcha. Yeah, I just don't know who's starting at quarterback for Pittsburgh. It's going to be tough to back a freshman against Notre Dame. And that defense.
If that kid Yellen could not move the ball last week, if he's in there, I wonder if the line moves if they find out Yellen's the QB.
Maybe to 11. I'm sure it's already baked in the line, though, is my guess. I mean, Vegas had information that Pittsburgh was going to be without Kenny Pickett last week. And when Pickett was ruled out, the line moved half a point and moved back before game time. And Pittsburgh ended up covering that game. So.
Andrew's in Alston. He's on the line. What's going on, Andrew?
Hey, what's up, boys? Dan, I'm looking for a soccer pick. The one I like is Crystal Palace against Fulham on the two-way line. It's around even money, and Fulham sucks. So that's the one I like, but I was hoping I could get something from you.
I'm sorry, dude. I got nothing for you.
What is it?
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's...
What league is this?
This is Prem.
Okay.
This is Premier League. Listen, we got like 70 college football games, something ridiculous.
I know you're busy. And I drove up to New Hampshire to bet yesterday, and now I hear not to bet Ole Miss. I already, some guy in the Athletic told me to take Ole Miss, so I gotta wait to drive up till Saturday morning.
Telling you, stay off that game.
Listen, if Auburn shows up today, it's gonna be a bloodbath.
Stay off that game, man.
I'm scared of that one. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't have any soccer for
Premier
you.
League.
Listen, I love to watch the Prem. It's just I don't have time for everything. I have a wife. I got to enjoy my life. Like, can't do everything. As much as I love watching the Prem.
Dan Lipschitz's a busy man.
No, I'm not busy, man. I'm just, you know, I got a job. This is not my full-time gig.
Michigan, Minnesota.
Row the boat, baby.
Man,
that boat.
I want to take Minnesota so bad.
Hey, I'm not kidding. I've not seen a single person on Michigan except for Sam Pajanovic of Chicken Dinner. Shout out to Sam. I have not seen a single human being
Michigan. Tanner Morgan's returning. Okay, we know what PJ Fleck can do for that, what he's done there. That wide receiver I mentioned who opted back in. I forget his name. From Minnesota.
You're talking about Bateman, right? Rashad Bateman?
Yeah, I love what Minnesota did last year. And if we're looking at two programs going in directions, it's Minnesota right now. Now, dude, I watched some video on Joe Milton the other day. Whoa. He could be something. And I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but how many Michigan quarterbacks have they said that about in years?
I mean, we heard about how Shea Patterson was supposed to be the next NFL QB, and... Didn't he go undrafted? Was he drafted?
I think he went undrafted. Okay. He's somewhere in the league.
Yeah, I know that.
So,
but yeah, I mean, listen, it's we there's a lot of hype for every single undrafted free agent by the Kansas City Chiefs. There's always hype for the Michigan quarterback, always. But what I'll say about Minnesota again is like they had a really good year last year. And I know that, you know, Fleck has kind of built a program and everything.
I love Fleck. I think he's great.
It's just sometimes the expectations for Minnesota are already really, really high. Just saying, Michigan is still a 3-point favorite on the road in Minneapolis. Maybe we need to temper our expectations for Minnesota. I think this is one you avoid. I think this is one that you watch and you decide, you know, What is Minnesota going for? What is Michigan going forward? Is Joe Milton the real deal? You know, kind of things along those lines.
Milton is, I don't want to call him Denard Robinson, but he's that type of, that's what they're projecting him to be. I don't know. I'd rather go with the guy I know than that one. I'm looking at this game. And I know Michigan won the last meeting between the two easily. This is probably the game of the day for me. I'm going to watch this one late night. Michigan's 3. It hasn't moved. The total's 53. I know they have a good defense. I for some reason, I like Minnesota. But you're right. How many people have... Like, this is Michigan going on
Michigan,
the road.
Michigan
dude.
Literally just moved to 3.5.
Hmm.
I'm telling you, this is going to be a sharp for square side. The squares are going to be in Minnesota. The sharps are going to be in Michigan. It's going to happen. Now, I'm not telling you Michigan's going to win or that the sharps always win. I'm just telling you what is going to end up happening in this game.
The over is 6-0 the last 6 meetings between these two teams.
Ugh. Pass. So,
just wanted to throw that out there. And I do have a pick on the Iowa State. Oklahoma State game. Now listen, I'm going Iowa State here, and it's more of a fade of Oklahoma State. I don't know who the quarterback is. I'm hearing it's Spencer Sanders.
It's Sanders. Sanders. All right, Sanders is going to play. He played some last week.
I know Iowa State has had it. Iowa State had this game last year in law. Oklahoma State hung on 34-27, but this could be the first time that Iowa State could go 4-0 in the conference in school history. And, you know, I know Purdy came back. Like, that whole team came back, you know, to go out there and compete for the Big 12. And I know that Chuba Hubbard, is the big name people are going to watch for today. But I just like what Iowa State's doing on defense.
Don't forget my guy, Tylan Wallace, is back at wide receiver. You know how much I love that kid. He is explosive. I know he's coming off the ACL, but still.
Now, Oklahoma State's been awesome defensively. I think they're going to get to give up points today. And they've only played, a couple of games so far? So, and I don't know. Kind of a fade Gundy guy, too. The line's 3. It's just, I don't know. I know they're at home. It's just today, I'm going outright, Dan. PP, Iowa State money line. And I'll just go the 3. I'll do the 3.
You want the 3? You want
just
the money?
Just give me the 3.
You want the 3?
I like Iowa State plus 3 today.
There you go.
So I've given away. I'm writing these down.
Maybe sprinkle that money line if you're backing Joe Murray there, too.
Well, you could also fade it, too, if you don't like it.
Do you want to talk about quickly before we had to break the Hawaii game? Your wife will be all over this one. Did you get any more information on this?
All I can tell you is that quarterback there in Hawaii is very good.
So Fresno State,
very good.
Fresno State got up to 4.5, and is now back down to 2.5. I still think Fresno State, new coach, again, returning the offensive coordinator they had from a couple years ago when they were really, really good. I think Fresno State has a chance to really be a good team in the Mountain West this year. They were very disappointing last year. I think they have a chance to rebound here. 2.5-point favorites at home versus Hawaii. 1 o'clock, 1:30 game for Hawaii because Hawaii is standard time. I think this is going to be I think this is one to look at. I think Fresno has a real chance to take it to Hawaii today, and I think we'll learn something about this. I'm going to be be on the lookout. I might put a second half play on this one. And the other one I'm looking at today is Wyoming, Nevada. Nevada without their head coach, their offensive coordinator is going to be coaching them today. Wyoming, 4.5 point favorites, down to 3. They are a dark horse in the Mountain West. 12-1 to win the Mountain West. A lot of people have been talking about them. They are returning a large portion of that roster, and honestly, I'm very, very impressed by what they bring back, and honestly, what they did in their line of work, even basically without a productive quarterback last year. Team is still really good. Another year under the belt with Wyoming. I think they have a chance with Craig Bowl to be a very good team this year. And Nevada, to me, feels like a program that's going the other way. So that's another one I'd look out for as well.
Heard good things about Hawaii. It's not Hawaii. Wyoming this year. Todd Graham, the coach of Hawaii. And I believe it's Siobhan Cordero will be the... will be under center for Hawaii, who played very well last year. 4-0 record as a starter. Also had that win over Wyoming a year ago, if you remember that.
I do.
Fresno's owned that series, though. Looking at that one there. Too bad that game's not at midnight. 617-779-0985. Captain Caveman is on the line. Hello, sir.
Hey, what's up, guys? Listen, I want to get your opinion on the LSU-South Carolina game, but just two games I'm really liking. Liberty giving the 13 against Southern Miss. Liberty can run the hell out of the ball. Southern Miss can't stop the run. With
Southern Miss stinks. Great. Oh, God, does Southern Miss stink.
They're one of the worst run defenses in the league, and Liberty with the run is like a hot knife through butter, so I like Liberty. Air Force against San Jose State. Air Force played Navy, crushed them, absolutely dominated. I don't know jack about San Jose State, but what I saw from Air Force, I like them at the I think it's 7.5 now. But I do want to get your opinion on LSU, South Carolina, the quarterback change. I think it's two true freshman quarterbacks.
Yep.
They're going to be alternating at LSU. I don't see any look-aheads for either team, but I want to get your opinion on this. Line was 6. It's now moved to 4.5 after the announcement, but I'll listen to you guys on this one.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah, so, I mean, LSU quarterback Miles Brennan is out. He's not. It's not a switch. He's actually hurt. You know, so if TJ Finley is going to be splitting time with Max Johnson. A lot of unknowns there. South Carolina, I
how do you bet LSU right now?
Well, South Carolina next week faces Texas A&M, so I'm not sure.
I don't care about that. South Carolina's been pretty decent, man. I don't know, man. Just the way I watch it here, I wouldn't back LSU.
I think that this is a spot for LSU to get right. I think South Carolina coming off a big win versus Auburn, another road, you know, on the road at LSU, and then have the sandwich week versus Texas A&M next week. Like, this stretch for them, Auburn at LSU, home versus A&M, this is a brutal stretch. And I think LSU, who didn't play last week, has a, you know, coming off the bye from Florida, has some time to prepare. I think you back LSU in the spot. I do. I think that South Carolina is kind of overrated right now because of their victory last week. I think that you're going to see, you know, the LSU opener was 6. This look-ahead line, by the way, Joe, was 10.5. So, you know, you're almost getting, you know, a score and a half of a value, or, you know, a touchdown almost of value. I do think that LSU is the spot here if you're making me choose a side. I just think South Carolina's probably going to be, overrated, and I know the total has dipped a lot, too, because of the quarterback change. I wonder what we're going to see from the LSU quarterbacks, though. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah. How about the coach actually, like, put something together and win the game for LSU? Like, that'd be good if they're, like, coaching staff could, I don't know, put it together there. I mean, I know Coach O is highly regarded, but, like, let's go. You want to get a win, get over the – get a cover, you do it against South Carolina today. Not backing them, though.
No, I don't think it's a backable spot. But, again, remember, the Missouri game that they lost was a look at against Florida. The next week they had Florida, so they weren't preparing from, you know, Missouri. They thought they would wake up and beat Missouri. So I think this is going to be in trouble.
All right, we're going to wrap everything up with NFL football here. Just one more thing about that Clemson-Syracuse line. I just saw this from our buddy, who's this, John Ewing, Bet Labs.
Yeah, Bet MGM, Bet Labs, yep.
Dabo Swinney is 1-6 against the spread when they're 45 points plus. He's only covered once. Since 2005, teams favored by 45 or more points have gone 63-93-1. 40%.
Again, I'm just saying, it's Syracuse, and Clemson hates this effing
team. They hate them. Well, remember they almost upset them a couple of years ago?
That's what I'm saying. Clemson hates them. So, like, you know, it's... I just don't want to be on either side of this one, because I know I'm going to feel like an idiot. It doesn't matter what I do. I'm going to feel like an idiot.
If you take Clemson and they don't cover, you're like, why?
Yeah.
And if you take Syracuse, you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe I died.
If you take Clemson, you're going to be like, I can't believe I laid 46 points. If you take Syracuse, you're going to be like, I can't believe I took Syracuse. It doesn't matter. It's a lose-lose. I'm out. Pass on the game.
All right. Well, I got NFL. More picks coming up next here on DraftKings Over-Under Show.
The DraftKings Over-Under Show with the Bankroll Boys. 98.5, the Sports Hub. It's the show where you never have to hedge your bets.
Get it?
The DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
DraftKings Over-Under Show. New Orleans going to be without Emmanuel Sanders and Mike Thomas this week. The line is 7. And we all know about the history of Teddy Bridgewater as a underdog against the spread. They had a week off. I saw Drew Brees grilling it up this week. Last meeting, New Orleans won 42-10. This was last year, so big difference here. First meeting this season between the two teams. 7 is the line. And New Orleans is at home, Dan.
I'm not a DFS guy, but don't you think this is an Alvin Kamara game? Because, like, you don't have Michael Thomas. You don't have Emmanuel Sanders. I think your number one option is, what, Tre'Quan Smith this week if you're the Saints? So, I mean, you know, if you're asking Tre'Quan Smith to be your number one receiver, and I think who's... going like Marquez Callaway is like they're in trouble offensively, at least you know, when it comes to moving the ball, and Drew Brees arm looks dead anyways. I think this is an Alvin Kamara game, which should scare you if you're a Saints backer, in my opinion, because the Panthers, although they haven't really good against pass catching running backs, just like if you can key in on Kamara and stop him and make Drew Brees beat you without any weapons around you, I think it's going to be tough. And, you know that they're going to, you know, take Brees off the field. You know they're going to do the gimmicky crap with Taysom Hill, and that either leads to something really good or really bad every game, it feels like. And I don't know, man. I'm not backing New Orleans here. How about that? I'm not backing New Orleans.
Just head-to-head, Panthers have been very good in this series. The underdog, 10-2 against the spread last 10 meetings. One thing I will give you is the over. Last 7 meetings overall in New Orleans between the two teams, 7-0.
Total is 50, down from 51 this week.
So what, 28, 24, you know, 31, 24?
28, 24 goes over, it's 52. Yeah. I think I could see that type of game. Do you think the Saints win this game? I think there's a legitimate chance that the Panthers can pull an upset here. Not saying that I'm betting them or I'm backing them. It's just the Saints, without their offensive weapons, I know they're coming off the bye, so at least they're a little bit healthier defensively, and I think that will
definitely Teddy Bridgewater knows that team.
He does.
They know him, though, too.
So. Also true. You know, it goes both ways.
I just think Bridgewater, I smell a little backdoor there.
Could be. It was 7.5 the other day. It's on the 7. I think that's probably... the wide receiver news. We knew Michael Thomas probably wasn't going to play.
Does Green Bay bounce back against Houston?
You would hope that this would be a spot that Green Bay can bounce back. I also think it's probably going to be one of the most public spots all week.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, you know, books did very well in the NFL last week. They did very well, so maybe they take a bath this week. This is a spot where Green Bay, you get blown out, allowed 38 straight points.
Like Magic Johnson.
Oh, yeah, blown out. Yeah, after allowing 38 straight against Tampa, you better come back, and you better come back with a response. I mean, you would hope that Green Bay would show up.
Seattle, Arizona, the only thing I have on that is all of Arizona's games this year have gone under the total, six games. And the total's 55. That hasn't moved all week long.
Interesting. I think we're going to see a high-scoring game in this one. I do. I think that if Arizona wants to win this game, they have to throw the ball because Seattle is good. 5-0 Seattle, they're going to continue throwing the damn football. That's what they're good at. You know, they're going to – Carson's, you know, going to be healthy, whatever. I get that. But they struggled versus Minnesota the last game they played. And, you know, I know they're coming off the bye, but still, this is a game that if Seattle wants to win – or, sorry, if Arizona wants to win, they're going to have to put up points. And they have not had a problem with that the last 2 weeks against the Jets and the Cowboys and now get the home game against a tough divisional opponent.
And then Patriots and 49ers. The line is now 2.5 Patriots. It's moved in their favor. I'm not touching the Patriots. Maybe the line. I've said this all week long. I feel like the line indicates the Patriots win. But I think I can't touch them right now.
It opened at 5. The look ahead was 6.5 or 6, depending on the book. I just think that the Niners being 3-3 and the Patriots being 2-3 and the Niners coming off a nice victory against the Rams, which again, I credit to them. They played very well in that game. I just on the road against the Patriots, the next week on the road against Seattle, like this is the Patriots coming off a loss, two losses in a row. This is the type of game you back Bill Belichick historically, whether it's been with Tom Brady or not. This is the type of game that you back Bill Belichick and his team historically. I expect the Patriots to win this game. I don't want to bet it just because I'm still concerned about the wide receiver position and what they have. But they weren't able to practice for 2 weeks before the Denver game, and they still almost won that game. And it just feels like they know Jimmy Garoppolo. They know the quarterback. There's new personnel on the defensive side of the football for the Patriots. They line up well, no Mostert. They line up well if you know on the spread because you're going to cover Debo, Ayuk. They're going to try and take away Kittle, and they're going to make Debo and Ayuk beat them, in my opinion. And I think that in that case, the Patriots are going to be successful defensively. And I still wonder what the Niners are going to be able to do. They allowed 43 to Miami a couple weeks ago. Let's not forget how bad this team – and they lost to the Eagles. Like, I know they're coming off a nice win against the Rams, but let's not forget how bad this team was just a week ago before that win. Mm.
Kid Bourne has been very good for San Fran.
Yeah, Bourne has been good too.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then now we have UFC picks, and someone wants to get in on Alabama as well as we wrap up the show. Coming up next, it's 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Who you got? These guys have the answer. Joe Murray, Dan Lifshatz. The DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, Dan, Cincinnati, SMU. Cincinnati's in the top 10. Southern Methodist pulled out a win last week, also beat Memphis, as we know. Line right now is 2.5 SMU. Surprising there. Do you know that the total has gone under in the last four meetings between these two teams?
That doesn't surprise me. Cincinnati, is, especially under Luke Fickell, has been a very good defensive team. And their quarterback, I think Desmond Ridder, is the most overrated quarterback maybe in the country. I do worry about about Cincinnati scoring points. They've scored 24 versus Army, 28 versus South Florida. Tulsa almost eclipsed that in the first half yesterday. They scored 55 versus Austin Peay, but that doesn't really matter. Yeah. SMU this year, 31, 65, 50 versus SF Austin, which doesn't count. 30 versus Memphis and 37 versus Tulane. I expect to see a pretty close ball game. I personally like SMU if you're making me choose a side, just because I think they're the better team. Now they've lost Roberson, they've lost the running back for the year, they've lost a lot of talent offensively, but they still have plenty. And you know, I'll take Shane Buechele and that coaching staff over, you know, Luke Fickell and Desmond Ridder.
Michael's in Salem. What's up, Michael?
Yeah, hey, guys. I just wanted to talk about Alabama. I meant to call you guys last week, but I ended up sleeping through the show because I was down in Tuscaloosa seeing my buddies.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, it is fair.
What do you got?
But yeah, I wanted to talk about the game today. I think the line is 22, I believe, to Alabama in Knoxville. I like Alabama, but I guess Tennessee lost last week, but that was kind of a trap game, look-ahead game, sandwich-type game. But overall, I like Alabama to cover today, but there could be a backdoor cover. I want your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it could be. They only won by 22 last year. What's the line today?
Line is 21.5 right now.
There you go. I just think Tennessee stinks. But they play better at home, and I don't know. I think Mac Jones is good, and I think Najee Harris is going to run all over him.
But let's not forget, Alabama didn't cover versus Missouri. Like, this is the same. This game has the same type of feel.
Kind of like Alabama first half there, minus the 12, but
Again, Bama's two games that they, you know, weren't super serious on, both on the road, Missouri and Ole Miss, didn't cover either of those. The two games they actually had to get up for with A&M and Georgia, they covered. So I'm just going to kind of go back to that spot.
Gabe, you finish up the show with us. Give us your UFC picks.
Jared Cannonier by decision, minus 155. And the title fight, I would go Khabib, but it's not worth betting. Gaethje by TKO if you want to throw a few pennies on it.
Ooh, all right.
All right, Gabe likes Khabib. I like it. He was straight to the point this week. In, out. I like that, Gabe. Good job, buddy.
Nice job, buddy. All right, this has been the DraftKings Over-Under Show. Don't forget, check out our Twitter handles, at Dan Livshatz, at Joey Murr, and check out our podcast from Thursday. There's picks we didn't give out there today, and it looks like we gave out a bunch today. Four each, two PPs each.
I think we gave out two each and four total today.
So there you go. So fade or follow those picks, of course, and check out our Twitter. There might be more later on today as we go on.
I'm going to be looking at second halves.
So for Dan Lifshatz, I'm Joe Murray. This has been another edition of DraftKings Over Under 985.
Who you got?
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show on 985, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.